I thank the Lord for this opportunity to be with you. I have a full screen, so I can at least see in some of the boxes, some faces, others are names. I suppose I'm hinting it would be good if some of you would just tune in that way, that by the Lord's sovereign arrangement and the fellowship with the churches, we've been having a conference like this in this time of year, most years, for at least 20 years, maybe more. And more than ever before, long before I begin to preparing anything, any messages, any outlines, there's just turning to God the Father as the unique source. The church, the local church, like in Thessalonica, is the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I wait on him to have the leading and the guidance and the direction as to what he wants this conference to focus on. And so eventually, and it became clear by the inner anointing through the prayers in the life of the body, that our general subject is living the Christian life at the end of the present age. And the speaking part, the message part of the meeting, will be completed before 9 o'clock. This will give much time for you to complete the speaking with your sharing. I really mean this. This is a body matter. So living the Christian life at the end of the present age. And I want to take quite a period of time to make it clear what I mean by the present age and the end of the present age. And we will see from the word that when the Lord himself spoke about the rapture of the living overcomers, he referred to men and women working in an ordinary way, day by day, living a normal, practical human life. And one of the main burdens of this time together is that we are willing and open and are receptive to learn from the Lord how outwardly to live a proper human life, whatever our age is, whatever our situations are, whatever our responsibilities are. We are above normal, but at the same time, inwardly, we're living in the reality of the kingdom, in the reality of the body. We're living to the Lord. We're living Christ, who's living in us. Because only this kind of believer will be raptured before the great tribulation starts. And living, the word living here, refers to 24/7. This is not behavior. There's no compartmentalizing. I have one kind of living at home, another kind of living with the saints, a third kind of living when I'm outwardly in the world doing what I need to do. Just one living as the Lord is perfecting us and training us. And the thought in this general subject is, we are nearing the end of the present age. And here we need to have a clear understanding of the two aspects of this word age, as used in the scriptures and as used in the ministry. So from God's point of view, from the time he created us until now, there are different ages of time. So there is the age before the law was given, a very long time. And then there was a change when the people of Israel were brought out of Egypt. So now it's the age of the law. That is the governing principle. But when the Lord came and began his ministry, the age changed to the age of the church. It's the age of grace. It's the age of mystery. And it's the age of faith. So from the point of view of God's operating in time to fulfill his purpose, we have been, all of us, our whole life until now, in the present church age. It's an age of mystery. But in Revelation 10, chapter 10, verse 7, that it's declared the mystery of God has been fulfilled. And so we are approaching that time, but I don't speculate. I don't try to give pseudo prophecies. We're just nearing the end. It's been 2,000 years. And so the present age then, from God's point of view, regarding his economy, is the present age of the church, of grace, of mystery, and faith. But once we've established this, then I want to emphasize the second aspect of the present age. And I'll read you four verses, little by little, to open this up to us. And I begin with Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, referring to God the Father, and Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might rescue us out of the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. The present evil age. What is this? Here the word age refers to a period of time within the satanic world system. So the whole world lies in the evil one. 1 John 5:19. Every aspect, no matter what it is, we need medical help. There's the medical system, part of the satanic world system. If we want to buy this and that or go this and there, we are all living in the world. But as the Lord prayed, we're not of the world. And the age is different in different periods of time. And so there's some advantage to being older and elderly and still have a good memory. Are things not radically different from right now today than in the 1970s? Are they not significantly different from 10 years ago? 10 or 15 years ago, were they teaching in the public schools in California? You can be any gender you want. Forget how you're born. You can just go back and forth. So we are in a particular age. And I want to give a definition of this. that there is a spirit and atmosphere of every age in Satan's world system. And this refers to the spirit and the mood of a particular period of time, shown by the ideas and the beliefs of the people. And so now, I'm just commenting on history, I'm not taking a position. When the Supreme Court invented a law, that's how the enemy tried to change the notion of marriage. And so now, that's a different definition. And so there is swarming through the network, through the media, through social media, in all kinds of ways. The spirit of this age trying to penetrate the minds of millions and millions of people to be able to, on the one hand, kept away from the will of God being done. You see the contrast. We're rescued from the present age according to the will of God. So our choice will be, and this will be even stronger tomorrow night, we have two choices, not a third. Either we will be living with our whole being for the will of God concerning Christ and the church, or we will be living in the present evil age of Satan's world system. There's no middle ground. We'll see more. And so the present age that is the emphasis here is not primarily the end of the age of the church. We have that as our foundation. But it's the present age of the enemy's activity. And I have to be very straightforward. There are hundreds of well-educated young adults and early middle-aged saints who are advancing in what they call their careers or whatever. That's very good. They develop. They're just oblivious to the spirit of this age. And so there will be a test. I'm not giving the test. There will be a test in 24 hours. What you will do Saturday night. What have you planned for Saturday night? Maybe Friday night's free. I can zoom in on the meeting. We have other plans. We've got tickets for this and that. We want to have a gourmet dinner somewhere. We're going to a wine tasting gathering, whatever it is. Just that action indicates saints have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. And my heart aches with loving concern about this. These dear saints don't know where they are, what the spiritual battle is in the spiritual realm, how it's affecting them, and how they will not be raptured. They will go through the tribulation, and they may not receive the kingdom reward. All of this is fitting together here. This is not theory. And so the present evil age, I think it's now getting clear. It is this period of time during which the enemy has a certain plan, a certain goal. Now to strengthen this, I want to read three other verses. And I go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. I'm getting there. And this is Paul speaking to all of us. And do not be fashioned according to this age. He's talking to the saints in the church in Rome. He's talking to Jewish and Gentile believers. And he appealed to them to present their bodies to be a living sacrifice. And then he says, do not be fashioned according to this age. Don't let the present age shape your mind, shape your thinking, shape your values. Do not be fashioned according to it. Because when that happens in the life of a believer, they become a living, walking contradiction. Because in their mingled spirit, where the Lord's spirit is one with them, they are a child of God. They're a believer. But now outwardly, they're shaped according to this age. Rather than having a renewed mind, being transformed, growing in life, maturing in life, with a renewed mind, yet, as I mentioned in the beginning, and will emphasize again, we are very normal people humanly. When I bid farewell to middle age several years ago, bye-bye middle age, now I'm in another stage, and this is how I need how to live humanly and spiritually in another human stage. But at the same time, there needs to be a development in all of us concerning the will of God, the heart's desire of God, the eternal purpose of God, the economy of God. And now two other verses. And the one I will read now from 2 Timothy. We'll consider this in detail on the Lord's Day morning, as the Lord wills. But Paul is giving his final word to his spiritual child, Timothy. And this is what he said in chapter 4, verse 10. Referring to a co-worker named Demas. And Demas is mentioned, I think, at the end of Colossians. He was a co-worker of the Apostle Paul, and he abandoned him. This is what Paul said. For Demas has abandoned me. He doesn't stop there. He explained why. Having loved the present age. What I will say now might be quite startling. It might be shocking. I'm not trying to be, but I'm sharing this in the presence of the Lord before his face. I'm accountable to him. It's very likely there will be many Demases today. Oh, I'm in the Lord's recovery. I'm in the church life. I have my own kind of balance for how I'll live my human life and my church life. Yes, I'm in the Lord's recovery. And then the test comes, as it came in a certain country decades ago. And the people just said, that man, I don't know him. I don't have anything to do with him. We have to realize the capacity of our fallen being and how we desperately need the Lord to save us to the uttermost, so that when the trials come, we conquer we overcome. So now a word about an aspect of this present age. And at this point, I don't have a verse that I can share from. I can't consult the ministry. I just speak as one brother to my dear brothers and sisters. Why is this pandemic still going on, approaching 2 years? Why? Have we not considered this, prayed about it, inquired about it? And I can just share two things. And I'm open to the Lord to be fully adjusted. It was at the end of January in 2020. My wife and I were in Malaysia, and then we went to Singapore. And that's when we learned about the COVID virus. And we saw many people from China and Singapore with masks. So I began to study this. And then, based upon the little that I learned at that point, I made a decision before the Lord. Because I know what's going to happen to people. They will be driven by fear. And I made this decision before God and before the enemy. I will not be ruled by fear. I will be very practical. I'm an older person. I will do what I need to do to be safe, to take care of my health. But I'm not going to blindly follow this medical opinion or that. And many, many times with prayer partners, it's inquired of the Lord. Surely the wise, sovereign God knows this is happening. I think we can say he's allowing it to happen for some reason. And surely it's the enemy. He's the source of death. Death is his weapon. He hates human beings. What is the enemy doing? It's my conviction. He has gathered together his army to attack God is allowing this to happen. Why? I don't know. I don't dare to suggest. But there is a principle in the word and in the ministry concerning calamities and catastrophes and plagues like this. It can be a warning from God. A warning. And we have to face the facts in the book of Revelation. What we are suffering now is really a natural calamity. But when the great tribulation begins, there will be supernatural calamities beyond anything we've ever known. And surely, if we have a proper holy fear of God, we don't want to be here during those 3.5 years. And there's an encouraging word that the Lord spoke to the church in Philadelphia, typifying the recovered church. Because you have kept the word of my endurance, I also will keep you out of the hour of trial, which is about to come on the whole inhabited earth. We have to face the fact, my dear brothers and sisters, we're moving in this direction. An unprecedented dispensational change. And we have the opportunity to understand the spiritual significance of the world situation. then I just wonder, on the enemy's side, what could he be trying to do? And this is just something to consider. He may be preparing people all over the earth who they don't want to be disallowed to travel, to go on a bus, a train, a plane, to go into a grocery store, to participate in that. Maybe they're getting a kind of introduction to when they will take the mark on their head or on their hand. This is not a dream. We have to realize we're approaching the end of the age in both ways. Both the age from God's point of view, we released a message in the Itero training, and then part of it was God wants to end this age. And tomorrow night we will speak about what God is doing to end this age, and it involves his recovery. And also, it's the present age of the world system. I needed to give this kind of opening word, mainly to open my being to you, my spirit, my heart, so that you can begin to have a sense there's a burden here. This is not just a traditional conference. We have a message. Isn't that interesting? Wasn't that inspiring? Then 2 days later, it's gone. No. This burden comes from the heart of God for us to know how to live a Christian life at the end of the present age. Maybe there will be a peaceful time if and when the pandemic ceases. But dear brothers and sisters, this is only the start. We have to be sober. We have to be clear. And now we can come to the message. And the title is, As the Days of Noah Were. And the reason we have this title is because this is what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24. And we need to consider his word. This is our Lord Jesus speaking to us in verses 32 through 34. No, 30, yeah, 30, yeah, 32 to 44, okay. I'll just start with verse 36 and read down to maybe verse 42. But concerning the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of the heavens nor the Son of Man, but the Father only. For just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as they were in those days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day in which Noah entered into the ark, and they did not know that judgment was coming, until the flood came and took all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. This is the Lord's word. And we're just at the very beginning. And one of the characteristics of the days of Noah, you can read this in Genesis yourself, is violence, not just immorality, violence, lawlessness, anti-God people. That's how it will be. We have to be ready. What the enemy is trying to do to this country, we need to be able to overcome in that situation. Then I'll keep reading. I'll come to this part later in the message. At that time, two men were in the field. So while this is all going on, you've got these two men, they're really two brothers, working. This is a work day. I have to go to my job. I've got to take care of my family. I have responsibilities. They're working. And then in verse 41, two women are grinding at the mill. Two sisters. Verse 41. Verse 41. One is taken, the other left. The two women. One is taken, one is left. What is the Lord saying? These are believers here. An unbeliever can't be raptured. These are believers living at the end of this age, and they are seeing very clearly. This is like the days of Noah, that they still have to live a normal life. But one brother, while he's taking care of his human responsibilities, inwardly, he is one with the Lord and inwardly ready to be with the Lord. The other one, a brother in the church, maybe even outwardly active in the church, but their inner situation was radically different than the two women, the two sisters. One is taken, the other left. The Lord is not biased in any way. He's not prejudiced. He doesn't just wonder, should I take her? Should I take her? That's not our God. He knows our inner being thoroughly. The Lord said this to the church in Thyatira. All the churches will know that I am he who searches the inward parts and the hearts. So this is about our inner life. While we're living a normal human life outwardly and practically, inwardly, our inner life with the Lord is developing, it's maturing. We are being strengthened with power into our inner man. Christ is making his home in our heart. We are being saved in life. That includes sanctification, renewing, transformation, confirmation, glorification. It's all going on inwardly while we're living a normal life outwardly. This is what's really in my heart for myself and all of us, that we would learn this. It's understandable that an older person like me and many others can have a certain view of wanting the Lord to come and a certain view of this age. And here's a young adult, 23, 25, 34, 41, with so much ahead of them. They want to get their degree, maybe their MBA or PhD, and then get married and have a family and see the children grow and then advance in their career. Then hopefully, maybe when they're 98, they'll say, okay, I'm ready to go now. But when the Lord comes, saints of all ages are going to be here. I was deeply touched when I read in a certain document about a Christian family that was killed there in Afghanistan when the rebels took over. And even the little children had the faith to say, we're going to be with the Lord. I was so touched by that. Those dear believers. So now we can go through the outline, and I'll be true to my word. We'll be done before 9 o'clock. Romans 1. For just as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And now we need to understand what we mean by the word coming. The Greek word for coming, parousia, means presence. In ancient times, this word was applied to the coming of a dignified person. In the New Testament, this word refers to the coming of Christ, the most dignified one. Now we need to understand a point in prophecy. We know from Daniel, there are the 70 weeks, periods of time. And we are in between week 69 and week 70. How will we know when we're starting the last 7 years? We will know when Israel makes a covenant with a powerful European leader. To get the help of that powerful person to rebuild the temple on the mount that has been miraculously cleared away for them. Then we will know. The time clock is now going. 7 years. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. Then after 3.5 years, the overcoming saints, the first fruits mentioned in Revelation 14, will be raptured. And at about the same time, that European leader will be mortally wounded and will be resuscitated, a counterfeit of Christ's resurrection. Then he will have the spirit of Antichrist. Will place himself in the temple and demand to be worshipped. And the great tribulation begins. But at the beginning of the great tribulation, the Lord's parousia also begins. It's a hidden journey with his bridal army. He is descending from the highest heavens gradually in an invisible way until there's the battle at Armageddon. Then he will come in manifest with his army, destroy the enemy, remove human government, and the kingdom will fill the earth. This is prophecy. I really believe it. Concerning prophecy, I believe it was in the late 1980s, Brother Lee gave a series of messages publishing the book, the prophecy of the four sevens. The prophecy of the four sevens in the Bible. And I remember one older brother wondering, why did Brother Lee give this? I'm not interested in this. But in message 6, Brother Lee spoke from 2 Peter about the prophecy, the word of prophecy needs to be a light shining in us. Because if the prophecies are not real to us, many will live as if this will never end. I'm a young person. I'm a young adult. I'm just barely middle-aged. There's just no end. But there's going to be an end. We have to realize that we are approaching the end. Now, point D says Christ's coming will be his presence with his people. His parousia will begin with the rapture of the man-child and of the first fruits, and will end with his appearing on the earth with the saints. This is going to happen. And I'm speaking in principle now. A number of us will be there, and a number of us will not be there. It depends on whether we will take this word from the Lord and prepare ourselves. B, the situation before the Lord's coming will be like that in the days of Noah. Noah lived in a crooked and perverse age. Are we not? Is California not a crooked and perverted place? Is it not? Is this country not degrading more and more in the last 2 years? This is only the beginning. As a result, this is A, of man's first fall, the evil nature of Satan had been injected into man. In the second fall, the evil nature of Satan in man devised and developed a godless human culture. And this is what we're surrounded by. It will be godless more and more. See, at the time of the third fall, this godless culture produced an evil, crooked, corrupted, and perverse generation. And the evil power of darkness corrupted the earth and filled it with violence. Now, I want to read one other verse about the age, meaning a time frame of Satan's world system. This is a powerful word in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age has blinded the thoughts of the unbelievers, that the illumination of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, might not shine on them. And the God of the age, the God of this age, is Satan. He is the God, in small g, over his world system. The church is in the heavenlies with Christ above him, but he's the God of this age. And everyone who is not a living, active believer, whether they know it or not, they are subject to and they are worshiping the God of this age by worshiping something that really is idolatrous according to the God of this age. And what is his target? It's to blind the thoughts. Surely he's using the network, all kinds of things. Dear young people having access with no limitation. A few clicks, they can go anywhere they want on the internet. What are they reading? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What is entering into them? These are dear young people that were in children's meeting, and many still remember those who cared for them when they were so young. And they got saved and they were baptized when they were 12 or 13. For a while they were in the young people's meetings. But now they're attracted to the world. They love the world. They love the things of the world. And eventually they have to be enlightened themselves to see what is going on. And we need to fight for them in prayers, to fight for our children, to fight for our young people, to fight for one another, to bind the God of this age so that the light of the gospel of the glory of God would shine more than ever before. Now I continue with point 2 under B under 1. In Matthew 24, 37 through 39, and Luke 17, 26 to 27, the Lord Jesus likened our age to the days of Noah. The Lord Jesus did it. I'm emphasizing this. How can we not pay attention? You think this kind of age is just never going to happen? It's approaching. I don't dare say when. I'm not going to give a time estimate. I have no right to do that. I just had the sense, based upon what has happened in the last 2 years, we are heading toward the end. A, the condition of evil living, the conditions of evil living that stupefied the generation of Noah before the flood, portray the perilous condition of man's living before the great tribulation and the Lord's parousia. Please be clear, not during the tribulation, before the tribulation. And the vast majority of the saints now in the Lord's recovery will be alive then. We will have to go through it. We will have to learn how to live an overcoming life in it. And then if we mature, if we grow to maturity, as we continue to live, I say again and again, a practical human life, inwardly, we're ready. When there's the inward call, we are ready immediately. But one brother will be taken, the other will be left. One sister will be taken, the other will be left. And these verses the Lord puts together, it's in that time, especially in that 3.5 years, the first half of the 70th week. This is what's happening. But the Lord told the recovered church, the overcomers, you have kept the word of my endurance. We need Christ to be our endurance. We will not be worn out. We have the power of resurrection life. We have the victorious Christ living in us and praying for us. And he is our endurance. We will outlast anything that happens. Then the Lord will say, I will save you from the hour of trial. He's saying, I will rapture you because you were faithful to the end. Little B, if we would participate in the overcomer's rapture to enjoy the Lord's parousia and escape the great tribulation, we must overcome the stupefying effect of man's living today. This is the enemy's strategy, to stupefy. I refer again to 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in the evil one. They're stupefied. They are spiritually anesthetized. They're like on an operation table, and they're all in the hands of the enemy. And we are a counter-testimony to that. To overcome in the midst of that, and to pray and to preach the gospel, to teach the truth, to minister life, that more and more of the beloved saints among us will understand the situation. So here I just mention, kind of a sidebar, that in previous years, maybe 5-6 years ago, more than once I was asked a question by a certain category of saints. How can we be balanced? How can we live a balanced church life? And it was so clear what they meant. They're sincere. In other words, this much is for God, Christ, and the church, and this much is for my career. And so I said, okay, you want a response? Take it or leave it. we begin with this verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that you need for living will be added to you. That's the beginning. Then you read 1 Timothy. Paul gives some practical words. Brother, man, if you don't work to provide for your household, you're worse than an unbeliever. There's the balance. But to be honest with you, and many of us, and there's advantages to having some elderly saints. Now, some of us are still with a clear mind, and we love you all. I really mean that. I think you can maybe sense it. That when we came in the Lord's recovery in the 60s, this thought never occurred to us. It's just Christ and the church. The kingdom is first. Where we live, it has to be where we buy a house. Is it good for the church life? Will we take this job? Is this good for the church life? So in those days, they're long gone. Many of us brothers were high school teachers. Who wants to be a high school teacher today? You can't be wealthy. But it was so good for the church life. We had the summer off of the training, two vacation times, winter and spring. No, we're never rich. But we took care of our families. I'm just illustrating. There's no boasting here. That was 55 years ago. You're in a very difficult situation. But we're not stupefied. We need to be clear. We need to be sober to understand the situation. Now we go on. Two, at that time, two men will be in the field. One is taken and one is left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One is taken and one is left. The two men and the two women represent the living believers at the time of the second coming. That will be many of us. Some here may finish their course. We pray in victory and be with the Lord. They'll be part of the mansion. The vast majority will be here. What kind of brother will you be? What kind of sister will you be? This is something we should consider. And even pray this verse to the Lord. Lord, I want to be the brother that's taken. I want to be the sister that's taken. I pray for my family members. I pray for all the saints. May they be rapture ready. But that's up to them to decide. I can only pray. B, to be taken is to be raptured before the great tribulation. The rapture is the consummating step of God's full salvation in life. The transfiguration, the redemption of our body. After we have believed in the Lord and are saved, because of the demand of the divine life which we have received, and because of the intensity of our love toward the Lord, we desire to pursue a life that awaits the Lord's coming. And one sign is that inwardly we're awaiting the Lord's coming. Again, I say again and again, while we're being as normal as possible for our age. If you're in high school and you like a certain sport, just be a normal teenager, okay? You don't have to dress like the trainees dress in that kind of uniform. But inwardly, you're different. And then you go to Berkeley or wherever else you go, get the best grades you can. And then get a promising job and advance as Daniel did. And get married and have a family. As normal as possible. But inwardly, something else is going on. Your love for the Lord is now intense. Intense. When the bride has made herself ready, she's focused. She's intense. I'm ready. I want to meet my bridegroom. And so we pursue a life that awaits the Lord's coming. No one, none of us, the Lord doesn't want us to try to manufacture something. We may have some understanding when we sing that banner song, and our prayer is, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Some older saints may really say, come, Lord Jesus. And other dear saints, they're singing, come, Lord Jesus, but inwardly they're saying, not yet. I understand, not yet. I don't point the finger of judgment for that. The Lord understands you're not yet, because you have your whole life ahead of you. And now, may the Lord come along and interfere with everything. And he raptures you. But if you say, wait, I've got to finish my doctoral dissertation. Okay, finish it. I'll see you later. We'll be together after the 1,000 years. Okay, I'll see you later at the throne. It's okay, just stay and finish whatever it is. In such a life of loving the Lord and waiting for his coming, we expect, according to that which is revealed and prophesied in the Bible, to be raptured to the presence of the Lord, to meet together joyfully with him. That's why we need the book of Revelation. We need Revelation 12 and 14. We want to be rapture ready. And when it comes, we don't know from the word. We don't know when it will be. The Lord said, you don't know what day, at what hour. You have no idea when it will come. But surely there'll be an inward sense. Come. And the one brother says, amen. Gone. The other, where did he go? One sister. The same thing. When it comes down to it, saints, I just believe God's word. And I pray earnestly that I'll be the brother that's taken. And I pray for my wife and others that they will be the sister that's taken. And my heart is for all of you. That we will just be ready. But if we just kind of are lukewarm, and then, wow, we wake up early in the morning, what happened? A powerful missile went off course and blew up the mosque and the Temple Mount. It's clear. The Orthodox Jews are swarming around. The Temple Restoration Society is ready. We have everything. And then Israel makes the covenant. Now you know you have 3.5 years. I don't want to try to pack everything in 3.5 years. We have more than that right now. See, Matthew 24:40-41 refers to the secret rapture, the rapture of the ready ones, the mature ones. The difference between the one who was taken and the one who was left is in the maturity of life. One is mature in life and the other is not. That's why the first fruits, to use that illustration, the Lord does. He comes for the first fruits. The rest are not ripe. So he'll come and harvest them 3.5 years later. So we will mature. Why don't we decide and give ourselves to the Lord and pray? I want to mature now. I want to be ready. I don't want to kind of play around with time. Well, I know we're not in the 70th week, and surely I'll have 3.5 years. Whoa. How do you know what your situation will be humanly during those 3.5 years? How do you even know you'll still be alive? We have today, day by day. Two, to become matured is not an overnight matter. For the Lord's coming, we need to prepare ourselves, love him, and grow in him, that at his appearing, we may be mature to be raptured. That's why I'm being as transparent as I can. That's why it's been on my heart for a few decades now, concerning the saints growing in life to maturity. And my heart just aches. Again, I say there's no judgment. There's no criticism. There's just the awareness. This dear sister who's been in the Lord's recovery for more than 50 years, married to a leading brother, she has not grown an inch in the last 30 years. She doesn't realize, and may not want to realize. How can I not have a loving concern for all my brothers and sisters? For all of you? Surely some were praying and fighting for me to be preserved. Now it's my turn with others to pray not mainly for ourselves, but for all the saints in the Lord's recovery everywhere. We care for everyone. D, the Lord's word in Matthew 24, 40 and 41 shows us that as we wait for his coming and expect to be raptured, we must be faithful in our daily duties, living a properly balanced human life. Isn't this clear? Isn't this balanced? That you should plan for your children's education. This dear couple got engaged. Joyfully plan your wedding. Send out the invitations. We bless you. Don't think, oh, I shouldn't do this, I shouldn't do that, I might be raptured. No, just be human, Jesusly human. Now the last section, Luke 17, 31 through 36, speaks of our reaction to the rapture call. And I need to read these verses. We should finish in about 10 minutes. So, Luke 17, 31. In that day, he will be on the housetop, and his goods are in the house. Let him not come down to take them away. And he who is in the field, likewise, let him not turn back to the things behind. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his soul life will lose it, and whoever loses it will preserve it alive. I tell you, in that night, there will be two on one bed. The one will be taken and the other will be left. There will be two women grinding together. The one will be taken, but the other will be left. The two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. So notice you have this word, remember Lot's wife. And I didn't want to trust my memory. I went back and looked in Genesis 19 when the two angels came to Lot and his house and said, tomorrow you need to leave the city, you and your wife and the rest of your family, because we will destroy it. And so in the next morning, they were reluctant. And the angels, they took them by the hand. They didn't force them. They're just guiding them. You have to come. We don't want you to perish. And then one angel said, do not look back. Do not look back. And then why did Lot's wife look back? It's not because she was curious and wondered what it looks like. No. It's because part of her heart was there. And so she became a pillar of salt, just stuck in the middle. And this means, the sub points will help us understand that we have certain things that we need. We need transportation. We need a smartphone. We need something like an iPad or a laptop or something. We need the proper clothes. We need healthy food. We need recreation. We have all these human needs. And we have to have certain possessions. I rent a house, but if one could buy the house, so much better. But when the rapture call comes, you don't turn back. You don't say, wait a minute. I got to get my favorite tie. Oh, my bunny rabbit. I got to get the bunny rabbit. Oh, my iPad. No, you're not going to need your iPad in the kingdom. Just that instant will be a test because you're still tied to it. And just looking back, that's it. So there has to be this inward separation, even from the things that we need, even from the people that we love. So let's say I'm in one place. We're both serving on the campus. I'm in building 2. And my wife is serving in building 3. We're not side by side. But our hope is we'll be raptured together. Because inwardly, we are mature on the one hand. On the other hand, we are inwardly separated from anything that would keep us down. We love the Lord more than anything and anyone. He is first. The love is getting more and more intense than ever before. And so this is the Lord's word again. Don't come back into your room to get this and that. Don't go back in the house. Don't worry about your car. You got a Mercedes Benz. Okay. Just let it be. Don't worry about the car keys. Otherwise, you can take a drive around for the next 3.5 years. No. Hey, these verses depict the soul life and its engagement, not with sinful things, but with the things of the earth. The Lord's charge here is related to the believers overcoming in their practical life. So I've used this illustration a number of times. I can tell when a young man really loves his new car. And I've seen this happen. And 55 plus years ago, I did this for a while until the Lord dealt with it. And he parks the car and gets out. Now you've got a key. And then you just press the button and it's locked. And you walk away and then look back. Just look back at a car. It's like you're saying, don't worry, car. I'll come back. Well, I've stopped looking back for cars. I have a few thousand books. Not one of them. I don't want one volume. Oh, no, I didn't finish reading War and Peace. No, forget about it. Oh, no. This favorite music, this Bach. Oh, no. It's all there for some healthy recreation, but no control. Our whole being has been separated from that. And you just can't do it at the time. It'll be an instantaneous reaction. Be whatever, whether or not The living believers participate in the rapture of the overcomers. Depends on their reaction to the call to go. The rapture will occur secretly and unexpectedly. This call will not produce a miraculous last-minute change in us that has no relation to our previous life with the Lord. Is this not clear? Don't believe in the subtle thought from the enemy. He may say, oh, no, you can do this and that now. Don't worry. At the moment, you'll be able to give it all. No, we have to know the truth. In that moment, we will discover our heart's real treasure. If this treasure is the Lord himself, there will be no backward look. There's just this prayer in me, even personally. Lord, please be merciful to me. Grant me the grace that when you come, there will be no backward look. I'm no better than anybody else. I have the same needs that everyone else has. Lord, separate me from anything, any matter. I'm in my office, I'm writing an article for Affirmation and Critique. I don't say, I got to finish this. No, leave it there. I'm writing an outline, leave it there. I'm giving a message. I'm not going to wait till I finish it. It's going to be instantaneous, dear saints. I don't know what more I can say. We need to realize it. The Lord's word is so clear. And he's speaking to us because he wants us to be raptured ready. He does. He loves us beyond description. Three, we need the cross to work in us a thorough detachment in spirit from everything and everyone other than the Lord himself. I love my grandsons. I love my granddaughter. I just had the three. But I don't want to be held back to say, where's Elisa? Well, now you can stay and find out for yourself. Maybe Elisa got raptured, even though she's so young. Don't take in the thought from the enemy. This is non-human. Be ready. The Lord said in Matthew 10, he who loves father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. The cross needs to touch our natural affection. So our love for our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our parents, all the saints, it's a divine love. And that divine love gives Christ the preeminence in all our relationships, in relation to all our possessions. And we know from 1 John chapter 4, if that love is perfected, we will have boldness on the day of judgment. So we need this love to be matured in us until all of us are now in Song of Songs, chapter 8, longing for him to come. See, certain ones are taken because they have overcome the stupefying effect of self-indulgent living in this age to be raptured into the enjoyment of the Lord's parousia, self-enjoyment as part of the culture in which we live. Self-enjoyment. Oh, I've been there and done that. I want something else. I want to enjoy. Saturday night is my self-indulgent time. Got to be balanced. I don't want to hear another heavy message. I'm already trembling from hearing this a little bit. What's going to happen next? Well, you have to come and see. It'll be with the same spirit, the same love, the same burden. And now, chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. I read this and finish the point a few minutes before 9. And this again is the Lord speaking directly to us. But take heed to yourselves, lest perhaps your heart be weighed down with debauchery and drunkenness and the anxieties of life, and that day come upon you suddenly as a snare. For it will come in upon all those dwelling on the face of all the earth. But be watchful at every time, beseeching, that's to pray earnestly, beseeching, that you would prevail to escape all these things which are about to happen and stand before the Son of Man. What a wonderful prayer to pray. Lord, I want to escape. I'm not ashamed to say, I want to be rescued. I want to prevail over this to escape all these things which are about to happen. They will happen. I don't want to be trapped in here. I don't want to be like those at Noah's time. They gave him a little help every now and then to build the ark, but they were never part of the ark. And then when the flood came, it was too late. And stand before the Son of Man. This is a wonderful personal prayer. I hope that each one of us, before we fall asleep tonight, would just pray this simple prayer. Lord, do what you need to do in me and with me and through me, that I may stand before the Son of Man, that I would be raptured ready, that I would be mature in life, that my love would be perfected. And then as I'm living my normal, practical human life outwardly, inwardly, I'm ready. Just come. Rescue me. And surely our heart is being enlarged. I want all of you to escape. All of your sons and daughters and your grandchildren to escape. All the church kids, all the young people, all the FTTA graduates, all the young adults, all the middle-aged saints, all the elderly saints. I'm not just here hoping that I will be there. I want to be there with you. Be able to meet together before the Son of Man and enter together into the wedding feast and come together as the bridal army and then reign together in the manifestation of the kingdom. This is the burden. This is the word. The Lord cover me, forgive me for all my shortcomings. This is just an earthen vessel, but there's some treasure, which is Christ himself. Let's get ready. He's coming.
Amen.